understand the difference between an acute injury and a chronic injury. So, right, an acute injury is something if you get hit, you trip and fall, and you know, you skin your knee, or you're in a car accident or something, and it's a one-time injury, and you need to get that fixed. Okay, so take pain medication for that. I get that. Okay, that's a good reason. But high blood pressure, high cholesterol, that's not an acute injury. That's a chronic injury. It took a lifetime of doing something that caused it. So unless you change that something, then you'll be on the pills for the rest of your life. And I wanted to figure out, well, what is it that I'm doing? The best thing you can do is eat plants and exercise, get plenty of rest, and show and share love. And if you do those things, I mean, the body will heal itself.
Roundtree, and I'm Christina, your host. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Follow Your Kind podcast. So Vince is a total force of nature. He's a health coach who does both personal and group coaching. He's an amazing speaker. He's a corporate trainer. He's a Food for Life instructor. He has a Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering and a Master's in Business Administration from Emory University. He has a certificate in health coaching from Emory University, certification in plant-based nutrition from eCornell University, where Dr. T. Colin Campbell's Center for Nutritional Studies is. And he's also a certified Food for Life instructor with PCRM, which is Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And he has a certification in nutritional strategy for coronary artery disease from Cleveland Clinic. So he is well-educated to speak on the topic of plant-based nutrition and its effects on chronic disease, especially heart disease and blood pressure. So Vince runs a business that called Eat Plants and Thrive. It creates and markets programs that help people treat diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol with plant-based nutrition. We get into his personal story and what motivated him to move from a successful corporate person who was making six figures income to a health coach and dedicating his life full time to helping other people take control of their health through plant-based nutrition. I highly encourage you to check out his book or join his challenge. So it's Lower Your Blood Pressure in 10 Days. He offers a free ebook to the listeners of the show that you can find in lowerbpnow.com, or you can just click the links in the show notes. He also is starting a closed free Facebook group answering and addressing some of the questions that people might have about how food is related to the cause of their disease. It's literally called Food is the Cause, and I'll include a link in the show notes as well. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. Vince is just full. He's just beaming with energy and excitement. He's completely passionate about the subject, and it's just so amazing to have somebody so passionate, kind, charismatic, and just excited about this message, to have somebody like him speaking and advocating for the power of plant-based nutrition and helping get more people on board with taking control of their health and not having to live life full of pain or suffering. I really hope you enjoy the show. If you have any questions or if you have any feedback, please let me or Vince know. And have a wonderful December, y'all. Oh yeah, and forgot to mention, if you're local to Atlanta, we have a few Humane League events coming up. The Impact Squad fundraising season is full on, as you may have remembered from the last episode. So we're going to have the Sunrise Hike and Brunch, which is next Saturday, December 7th, is it? Let's see. Yes, December 7th. So we're meeting and we're going to hike sunrise. We're going to hike Stone Mountain. Then we're going to go to Dolce Vegan afterwards. And then we're also going to have a dancing fundraiser. So I will be teaching WERK, W-E-R-Q, the Fun, Fierce, Fitness, Dance, Exercise on next Saturday. So that will be December 14th at noon. And we'll all the proceeds will go towards the Humane League. And then we will figure out where to have some kind of vegan food afterwards for the company. So I hope to see you there. If you have any questions, let me know.
welcome to another episode of Follow Your Kind podcast. And today is a special day because we have Vince Roundtree on our podcast. Vince is a total rock star. He's a health coach. He's a business owner. And the name of his business, which is my favorite part, is Eat Plants and Thrive. If there was ever the best name to name business, it is the name. Hi, Vince. How are you today?
Hello, 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 Christina. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I love it. I'm great. I'm great. So we were just laughing about it, but I'm going to have to reveal your age. For those who are just listening and haven't seen pictures of Vince, we'll include some links so you can check him out. But Vince is 57 years young. And you're going to cry and laugh and just be overcome with joy when you look at his pictures and continue to listen to our conversation, because Vince is just so full of joy and energy and so fit. And it's just the power of plants and the fact that he's drinking his own Kool-Aid, that he's really passionate about the work that he does, and that eating plants works.
It's the fountain of youth. People are looking for the fountain of youth, and they want to look for a magic pill. They want to look for a magic formula. They want the best spa treatment. But the best thing you can do is eat plants and exercise, get plenty of rest, and show and share love. And if you do those things, I mean, the body will heal itself. I mean, it does so many things that's fantastic for you.
I love it. Eat plants and thrive. It's a who said it? I think Dr. Michael Greger talks about it, is when you just get out of your body's way and stop kicking it with terrible ingredients and chemicals every day, it just remarkably comes back to life and heals itself.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Vince, so let's start just by a little bit telling us of what you do, and we'll get into more details about that later on. But I want to follow that by your story and how you got to doing what you do today.
Okay. So in 2011, I went into the doctor for a regular physical, and all of my physicals up until that point have been really fast, really easy. Everything's great. Everything's great. See you next year. But in 2011, it was, well, everything is great, but got your blood work back and your cholesterol is high. We need to put you on medication and your blood pressure's high. So your cholesterol needs medication. It's so high, it needs medication. Blood pressure's high. It doesn't need medication, but it's a concern. And I asked my doctor, I said, well, you tell me I need to go on medication. How long do I need to go on medication for the rest of your life? And I'm like, well, that's not cool. So why do I need to do this? Like, what causes high blood pressure? I want to know the cause. I said, it's got to be something I'm eating. Like, what can I do to bring down my blood pressure that does not involve taking a pill every day for the rest of my life? And he said, well, your mom has high blood pressure. Your dad had high blood pressure. It runs in your family. So there's not much that you can do about that. And I said, okay, that's fine. And in the back of my mind, I says, okay, so that means he doesn't know. So that means I got to find it on my own. And my undergraduate degree is in chemical engineering. I understand science. I love science. And I wanted to find, look, I was looking for the scientific evidence that showed the best way to lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol with food. And I was completely agnostic. I looked at plant-based diet. I looked at keto and Atkins and South Beach and the wheat belly diet and eat for your blood type diet. I looked at all of these things, and my search came to an end when I found a YouTube lecture by Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who started it off by saying, coronary artery disease is nothing but a toothless paper tiger that need never exist. If it does exist, it need never progress, for it is a food-borne illness. I stopped the video. That's how we started the lecture. I moved the scrub bar back to the beginning. I listened to him again. And I said, this guy just said that the number one cause of death it's caused by food. I couldn't believe it. I said, okay, now this is what I was looking for. And he went on in this lecture to talk about his primary research, where he took patients that had severe coronary artery disease. Some of them had open heart surgery. Some of them had double bypass, triple bypass. Some of them needed transplants. I mean, they were in really bad shape. And he put them on plant-based nutrition, and all of the ones that stuck with the diet got better. And so I says, this is phenomenal. I mean, this is way more than what I was looking for. I've got to try this Dr. Esselstyn plant-based diet to see what happens to my cholesterol. Well, in 6 weeks, it took 6 weeks is when I went back in for another blood test. And when my doctor called me up with the results, he's like, Vince, I've got your results, and you need to get retested. I said, doctor, why do I need to get retested? He said, because I had your cholesterol at 240, and you didn't fulfill your prescription. Now your cholesterol is 132. Woo-hoo. That's a over 100-point drop in 6 weeks, and you didn't take the pills. Even if you took the pills, it wouldn't have dropped that much. So one of these tests is not right, and you need to get retested. I said, doc, you need to understand the power of plant-based nutrition. Did you know Dr. Esselstyn reversed heart disease with plant-based nutrition? He said, no, I'm not aware of that, but it's clearly working for you, so you should keep doing it. So that was the beginning of my journey. And
what was your diet before that?
You know, I ate what I really thought was a clean diet. I mean, I wasn't really overweight, but I lost 20 pounds. My cholesterol dropped over 100 points. My blood pressure dropped 30 points. And I thought I was eating pretty clean. I mean, I did mostly like chicken with the skin pulled off. When I did fish, I didn't do like sodas with heavily sugar. I wasn't doing like candies. I didn't do like, you know, cupcakes and potato chips like most Americans do. I didn't do like a lot of sodas. My diet consisted heavily of chicken, of fish. I would say my weakness was bacon and eggs. I definitely had bacon and eggs quite a bit. But I really thought that it was clean. But when I got those results, that just really concerned me. And so that was the beginning of the journey. And so then people in my office, were like, Vince, I can't believe you did that. You think it'll work for me? I said, yeah, let's try it. I eat this, I eat that. And so I was coaching people, not realizing, you know, what I was doing. And they started getting better. But then people would ask me questions that I couldn't answer. And I hated that. And so, I just had this passion where I just wanted to keep reading and keep learning and keep learning and keep learning, because I wanted to be able to answer every question that people had. And I won't say I'm 100% there now, but most questions now I can answer. I won't say maybe, because somebody will stump me, but most questions now I can answer, because I just became totally absorbed in the literature and in studies and in YouTube lectures and in courses and in trainings. And I traveled to plant-based health conferences, like we talked about ACLM, mm-hmm. In Orlando. I didn't go to Orlando, but I did go to PCRM's conference in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is they actually give you the slides. And I am the nerd that looks at the slides before the presentations. And then I listen, and then I take notes on them. And so I just love this subject, because you can save people's lives with this. And doctors don't get trained on using plant-based nutrition to reverse chronic illness. They just say go on pills, because that's how they're trained. I mean, they're really smart people. But you know, at these conferences, you know, like the PCRM one that I went to, ACLM, the Plantrition Project has a world conference in Anaheim. There's like 1,000 healthcare professionals that go there to learn how to incorporate plant-based nutrition into their medical practice. So that gives us hope. You know, more and more doctors are learning about this science, and they're using it in their practice. So it's still maybe less than 1% of doctors will do this, but we're making progress.
So taking a step back, and I'm always curious about what forces some people to kind of question the authority, quote unquote, or what doctors said. So as you, in your experience as a patient, what do you think, so what I'm hearing happen to you is you get a diagnosis, but instead of taking, accepting it for kind of as a truth at face value and just following the instructions, you choose to question it. And you choose to take initiative to do your own research. But what also what strikes me about you is that you don't, you then don't go and blame the doctor, but you're coming to it with a perspective of understanding that maybe they don't get that kind of training and they just don't know. It's not that they're trying to harm you or exactly. They don't care. It's just they just don't know.
Exactly.
Where... First question, where do you think, what do you think sets you apart in a way that you were courageous enough or curious enough to question the quote unquote authority? And then secondly, where do you get the kindness to treat the doctor without shaming and blaming?
Good questions. Okay. So the first one, which deals with what made me want to question the doctor and not just take his advice at face value. That comes from, I think, one of two things. Number one, my training as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And number two, I think I had an innate belief that if I am to take this medication every day for the rest of my life, that means there's something about me that's broken. And I couldn't accept that. I felt like I wasn't created to have to take pills. So what is the cause? And the doctor couldn't explain to me the cause in a way that made me feel satisfied. I think that most of us, when we hear a doctor give advice, okay, we'll take this, and then maybe many people just take it, but I have a curiosity about how things work that goes deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And so my first response when he said, you know, there's nothing much you can do, you just, you know, it runs in your family, was, okay, so that means he doesn't know, that's fine. Let me see if there's other science out there that says something different, because I don't want to take this. And that's without even really digging into the side effects of the medication. And when you start learning the side effects of the medication, it's like, why do you want to do this? If you're not treating the cause, you got to figure out what is causing. And I feel that way with everything. You know, if I'm running or I'm playing tennis or something, and my knee starts hurting, well, some people, well, let's take the Advil. And I did that for a while. But then I thought, well, maybe I need to strengthen my legs. And then I started doing some leg work, and then the knee pain went away. Ah. It's amazing how that happens. Or your hip starts hurting. Well, maybe I need to do more squats, because the stronger your muscles are, the less pressure it puts on the joint. And so I'm always looking for the cause. If my elbow hurts or I'm sitting at the desk, my neck is hurting. Well, maybe I'm looking down too much at the computer. Maybe I need to readjust my ergonomics. What is the cause? Mm-hmm. And I just have something in me that I've got to find the cause. And so I think that's what got me to not accept the doctor's recommendation to just take the pills. As far as the kindness is concerned, I think that may be innate as well. I think that in general, doctors are nice people and they're really smart people. But if you look at how they're trained, they are experts at knowing what kind of medication to give in what circumstance. Like if you look at the tools that they have mm-hmm. at their disposal, they've got the medication tool and they've got the surgery tool, maybe the physical therapy tool, but their diet tool is precursory at best. They, and particularly when you understand the difference between an acute injury and a chronic injury. So, right, an acute injury is something if you get hit, you trip and fall, and you know you skin your knee, or you're in a car accident or something, and it's a one-time injury, and you need to get that fixed. Okay, so take pain medication for that. I get that. Okay, that's a good reason. But high blood pressure, high cholesterol, That's not an acute injury. Mm-hmm. That's a chronic injury. It took a lifetime of doing something that caused it. So unless you change that something, then you'll be on the pills for the rest of your life. And I wanted to figure out, well, what is it that I'm doing? And I didn't even look at that as the doctor's fault, because they don't get trained on that. They're not trained to use that tool. They're not trained to use food as a tool. They're trained to use medication as a tool. They're trained to use surgery as a tool, and maybe physical therapy as a tool. But to use food as a tool, they're not trained in that way. So they're not going to give advice in that area.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take a second and point out, because I think it's very interesting and very important in today's age as the healthcare changes. And I have a lot of hope that there will be continuously changing towards better and heavier towards prevention. But I think as in this point of transition, it's very important for people who find themselves being patients to do so coming from a place of confidence and coming from a place of being empowerment as well. And I see a lot of patient advocacy groups being developed right now and having like patient advocacy, either people or groups, support groups within each healthcare system. But what I'm hearing that you did is you took responsibility as a patient. Again, you didn't just take things at face value, but you took full responsibility for first your actions and trying to understand how your actions led to the conditions where you're at. And secondly, you took full responsibility for understanding what is happening. And you had courage enough to and belief in yourself to think that you can understand of what's the logical chain of events here, right? And what I find, again, I work in healthcare and I'm also getting education in public health, which is helping me to, forcing me to look at it from different perspective. But what I'm learning is, part of the problem today is that people just come blindly into the healthcare system and they don't have that understanding as you do, that not all doctors are educated in all tools of prevention. And so they just come in blindly and they blindly follow the instructions and they don't believe in themselves enough to think that they can understand the process and the chain of events in their disease. And so they don't try to do anything about it. And then secondly, and sometimes most importantly, they're not willing to take responsibility that what they do, that their lifestyle is having implications on their health condition right now. And that by changing that, they can also improve their condition.
Exactly.
And then this is where you come in now with your health coaching and the program that you do. And first of all, I just want to give you credit for your just incredible sense of and hunger for information, your incredible sense of curiosity that led you to get all of the certifications and all of these trainings that you did, the certificate in health coaching from Emory University, but also the plant-based nutrition certificate from eCornell University with Dr. T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, the Food for Life instructor with PCRM, and the nutrition the certification nutritional strategy for coronary artery disease from Cleveland Clinic. This is so impressive. And again, it just speaks value to first how credible you are, but then also how curious and hungry for the information that you are and passionate about bringing this information to other people.
Yeah. Thank you. That is where it comes from. It's I want to get to the bottom of it. I have the questions in my mind. I figure every question that I have, a client could have it. And then I want to be on the side of making people better. And I believe, you know, most doctors become doctors because they want to help people as well. Yeah, they want to make a lot of money, but most doctors, I think, become doctors because they want to help people. Somewhere when they were a kid, they probably saw a doctor save somebody. I want to do that. I want to be. And that's where I think it comes from, you know? And so that's why I don't blame the doctors. Now, yes, there are bad, you know, doctors out there that just are in it for the money and they will lie and say things that aren't true in order to sell more, you know, pills or stuff like that. That absolutely happens. But I don't think that's the majority. I think the vast majority are out to take this knowledge that they have and use the tools that they think are best, and then use that to share. The problem is that the entire system is not geared towards treating the cause. And because food is the cause, so food is the cure.
But we're going to change that, right?
I was working in corporate America, a decent six-figure salary and bonus and all of that, MBA from Emory, all of that stuff, right? And, the end of 2014, I walked away from that because I want to share this message with the world, and I am dedicating the rest of my life to sharing this with as many people as I can. So that's what I'm on that side. Yes, we are having an impact.
That's amazing. Well, it's an amazing thing to have you on this side. So let's talk about Eat Plants and Thrive Now and the program that you have that's called Lower Your Blood Pressure. Is it the 10-day challenge, is it? So tell us about it.
So I created this challenge for a couple of reasons. I've heard of these weight loss challenges, and they'll have these challenges that for 30 days lose as much weight and then see who can lose the most weight in 30 days. I think I've heard of 45-day weight loss challenges. And when I hear these challenges, I was like, based on the science, two things can change pretty quickly with plant-based nutrition. Blood pressure is typically pretty responsive to plant-based nutrition. And lowering blood glucose levels for type 2 diabetics can be very responsive. You can get decent response in 10 days. Cholesterol as well. You can get a lower response in cholesterol as well. But the reason why I chose blood pressure is, number one, there's over 100 million people in the country that have high blood pressure. Number two, it is the number one factor for getting a heart attack, stroke, and blindness, and diabetes. And so you've got something that is a horrible problem for a patient. And if I can show them in just 10 days that they can take control and lower it with food, then that's a small enough period of time where it's not intimidating. Mm-hmm. I understand that what we are asking people to do, we're asking people to go plant-based. And you're talking about, people who grew up eating chicken wings and burgers and fries and pepperoni pizzas and bacon and eggs and barbecue ribs, and you grow up eating this food, which is amazingly delicious. And for somebody to think to give that up is a big deal. So I'm not saying do it for the rest of your life. I'm saying if you've got high blood pressure, give me 10 days and let's just see what happens. Listen, if it doesn't work, go right back to the way you're eating. It's just 10 days. You can do it for 10 days, right? I mean, anybody can do this for 10 days. I'm going to give you recipes for just 10 days. All I'm asking you to do, measure your blood pressure and your weight when you start. Measure your blood pressure and your weight at the end. During those 10 days, I'm going to fill you up with information on how it reverses heart disease and how it can lower cholesterol and how it can reverse diabetes and how it's going to lower your blood pressure. And what do you do when you're on the road, you're traveling? So I'm giving you tons of information. And then you measure your blood pressure and weight at the beginning, at the end. And if you've eaten food that's delicious and your blood pressure has dropped and your weight has dropped, and if you're diabetic, your glucose levels are dropping and the food tastes good and you're losing weight, then it becomes like, oh my God, why don't I just stay like that? So the purpose of the challenge is to make the time frame so short that it doesn't seem intimidating. Mm-hmm. And we typically get results. In the last one that I ran, we had two ladies that literally had to get off their pills within the 10 days.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable, right? Because if you're on blood pressure meds and you're taking the challenge, and not everybody is, but some people, they're on medication for blood pressure meds. I insist that you really need to measure your blood pressure every day, because blood pressure can be very responsive to food. And if your blood pressure drops within the third or fourth day, and you still are taking your meds at the same rate, your blood pressure could drop too low. I mean, you could be taking pills for a disease that you no longer have. And then the pills can make it drop to an unsafe level on the low side. Mm-hmm. So you have to work with your doctor I'm not a doctor, and I'm very clear with that. I can't tell you to stop taking medication. All I can tell you to do is measure your blood pressure every day, share that information with your doctor, and then you tell your doctor, listen, I'm taking my meds every day. I'm eating this plant-based nutrition, and it's dropped to this level. What should I do? Well, then if at that point the doctor doesn't take you off pills, then that's between the doctor. And then actually I'll say, listen, maybe you need to find a physician who understands plant-based nutrition.
So, I love it. So as a part of this 10-day challenge, what the participants get is they get the informational lectures from you, right? So you explain them the science behind it. You explain them the how. Do you give them the food plans, the recipes, the shopping list? How does the food component work?
Yeah, so we give them, and the next one I may do differently because I'm working with a company where I can have my own meal planning app. But what we did the first round is we gave them links to literally hundreds and hundreds of recipes. And I kind of explain. So I had a couple of videos when they start. When we run the challenge, it's a 10-day challenge, but the first 3 days is what I call preparation and mindset training. So I've got the first video on getting started where I basically instruct, listen, if you're on meds, it's super, super important to measure your blood pressure every day. And if you're diabetic, it's really important to measure your glucose levels every day, because if blood glucose levels fall below, fasting blood glucose falls below 70, that is a problem, right? So it's very important that they measure that every day so that as it goes down, they can cut back on their meds. So that's in like the welcome opening video. Then the second video that I have is on what to eat. And so I give them the goal is eating unprocessed plant-based foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, anything that grows in a pod, beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils, oatmeal and potatoes and brown rice and celery, just fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes. And so that is the goal in an unprocessed format. It should look like it did when it was grown. So we give them that and the recipes where they can find that. And then the third day I have instructions on, you know, how the best way to measure your blood pressure. And so then that gets people started, right? So I give them that information as far as, you know, what to eat in the initial video when they get started in the program. Mm-hmm. So they understand that, okay, so I can eat anything that fits within this criteria of being an unprocessed plant-based foods, and here's a bunch of recipes that I can use in order to eat this way.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what do you find are the things that are most helpful or most motivating for participants, right? Because I think it's popular to believe, oh, people just need the information. But sometimes information is not enough. It's the habit. It's also an understanding of how to take the information and integrate it in our daily life. So maybe it's the behavioral component, or is it the food prep component, or people are motivated to get their metrics to lower their blood pressure. What do you find to be the most motivating and the most helpful?
It's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And in my one-on-one coaching, now this is not as easy to do in a group coaching setting, but in my one-on-one coaching, the first day we always talk about their why. I want to know what their why is. And from a coaching perspective, most people don't really understand what coaching is. I mean, they think that the coach is doing giving a bunch of information, but actually motivational interviewing and health coaching is all about the clients, what is important to the client. And what the coach is really just doing is asking questions in a way such that the client is voicing what's most important to them, right? I mean, like if I want to get somebody to stop smoking, okay, so do I just say, stop smoking, it's not healthy? Yeah, that's probably not going to work too well, right? but if we start asking, well, why do you want to stop smoking? What's important to you? Well, you know, my daughter is 8 years old and, you know, I want to see her grow up. Or, you know, my kid, you know, I got grandkids, you know, and I want to see my grandkids grow up, or I want to go to my daughter's wedding, or I want to see my son play in a football game, or I want to see him graduate from college, or whatever it is, right? And it could be a gazillion things, but getting in touch with their why. and then having them to keep their why front and center, and understanding that this is a solution that can help them to get to their why, is where you want them to be. Mm-hmm. So that to me is the biggest motivator. But you mentioned some challenges, right, that are really important. The social challenges of people around them, not knowing the recipes, how do you incorporate it into your lifestyle? And that is kind of different for everybody. And we definitely, I go deep into that in my one-on-one coaching program because I can find out what specifically you need. Like, it's not uncommon if I have a client that's traveling on business, I'm like, okay, so where are you going? What city are you going to? What hotel are you staying in? Let me help you define the restaurants that are in your area. Let's even look at the menu in advance. Let me help. So I'm helping you to incorporate this into your lifestyle as it is right now. I had a client who was an airplane pilot for UPS, and he literally fly around the world. I mean, he'll go from the US to Europe to India to China to Australia to the West, and he comes back into the country from the West Coast and works his way, like, literally around the world. And he's got to eat plant-based every place he goes. And he has done it. So when people tell me, oh, well, you can't do it, I travel. Listen, I ask you this. If your life depends on it, could you do it? If your life depends on it, if your life of you being the mom or the dad of your parents, of your kids, right? So how important is that to you? And if your life depended on it, could you do it? Well, I guess if I was gonna die, okay, well, guess what? Your life really does depend on it. Because if you're talking to me, then you've probably got diabetes or heart disease or, you know, at risk for stroke, or, and your life depends on it. I mean, you know, heart disease is a scary thing because for half the people that have heart disease, their first symptom is death, right? I mean, if you've got atherosclerosis, particularly in the left anterior descending artery, and that thing ruptures with no symptoms, you could just literally die. And that, and we know that happens to people, right? You hear people just drop dead of a heart attack. So literally, your life does depend on it. And if anybody that's been exposed to the standard American diet, they're already getting, they've got some form of atherosclerosis someplace in their body, which is the process of the arteries clogging and the walls of the artery getting thicker. And if that, you know, ruptures, then that's a heart attack. And even if it doesn't rupture, it still can cause a whole host of problems. But unbelievably, that can be reversed. And there's no medical procedure that can reverse it. The only way to reverse it is with plant-based nutrition, which is phenomenal.
Eat plants and thrive.
Eat plants and thrive. When you eat plants, you can actually thrive. Yes, absolutely. I've seen it happen. And when you see it happen, you just, I mean, it motivates you. You know, every time I get information, I got a text from one of my clients the other day, and well, I don't know if I should just read the text. Well, she was like, Vince, I just came back from the doctor and, you know, her cholesterol is below 150 and she's off of her blood pressure meds and her fasting glucose is down to 100. And it's just like, I mean, literally, it brings tears to my eyes because it's like I'm helping to save somebody's life. And, you know, in a way that doctors, and I think that's probably why so many doctors go to these healthcare conventions that we talked about, right? The ACLM convention, because if all they're doing is prescribing meds, they typically don't see their patients get better. Their goal isn't even to reverse the disease. Their goal is to manage the symptoms. If you've got diabetes, the doctors are trained to manage the patient's glucose levels, not reverse it. They believe you'll have it for the rest of their lives. So their goal is to just manage it. And I'm saying, well, the reason why that's their goal is because their treatment is medication and reduce their carbs. Well, that doesn't do anything to reverse the insulin resistance, which causes it in the first place. You know, type 2 diabetes is a disease of which your body cannot use insulin to bring glucose from the bloodstream into the muscle cell. It can't do that. That's the problem, right? The glucose in the bloodstream is elevated because it really should be in the muscle cell so the mitochondria can use it for energy, right? Right? Your muscle cells need fuel in order to go, and glucose is the fuel. But for the glucose to do its job, it's got to get into the muscle cell. Then the mitochondria can use it. But somebody that's got diabetes, they are resistant to the insulin. Their pancreas is making the insulin. And the insulin's job is to usher the glucose into the muscle cell so that then the mitochondria can use it for energy. But if that glucose cannot get into the muscle cell, well, where is it? Well, then it stays up in the bloodstream and it keeps building up. And oh my God, I've got high blood glucose levels. I better cut back on my carbs. But what is that doing to get the glucose into the muscle cell? Nothing. The medication doesn't do that. Lowering your carbs doesn't do that. But so ask the question, well, why is the glucose not able to get into the muscle cell? It's because there's fat in there. And the muscle cell is like, I'm full, baby. I can't take any glucose in. I'm full. But if you cut back on the animal foods, if you eliminate animal foods and oil, then that fat can drain out. And if the fat drains out, now insulin can do its job and bring the glucose in, and the glucose levels go down in the bloodstream. And the patient is like, oh my God, I don't have diabetes anymore. Diabetes is the number one cause of limb amputation. It's the number one cause of blindness. It's the number one cause of kidney failure. And 70% of the people who have diabetes will die of a heart attack. And that's with the best medication that this country has to offer. We spend over $3 trillion a year on healthcare, and we can't reverse diabetes with medication and with the methods that's currently being used. But if we just eat plants, we can thrive. If we just eat plants without the oil and limit the sugar and the salt, if we just eat unprocessed plant-based foods, we can actually reverse type 2 diabetes. We can actually bring down blood pressure normally. We can reverse the number one cause of death in this country. Every 40 seconds, somebody dies of heart disease. Every 40 seconds. We've been on this call for what, maybe 30 minutes already. Already, there's been probably 40 people that died of a heart attack. I mean, literally, it's over 1,000 people a day die of heart disease. The vast majority of them, it could be reversed if they ate plant-based nutrition. It's a horrible thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, and this is why you want to work with Vince Roundtree, because I have not seen anybody who gets so passionate about the process of insulin resistance and the science behind it. You're welcome.
it's a blessing and a curse. I mean, there's been times when I try to talk about it and be okay. Now this time I'm gonna do it nice and calm. I can't do it. When we were at the Veg Fest, I was talking to somebody about blood pressure or something, and somebody walked by and said, "All right, calm down, will you?" I said, "I'm sorry. This is how I feel. I wish I could control it, but I kind of can't. It's who I am. So I've learned to embrace it."
Good. No, but it's such a good point. And I just want to bring this example really quick again, because I learned it at school, and it's a pretty popular one, but I think it really drives the message home about the nature of true prevention. It's like imagine the open sink, right, in the kitchen that's just gushing water, and the sink is getting overflown, and then the water spills into the floor. And what American healthcare system does right now is we're just trying to mop what's on the floor. We're just trying to like just gently wipe up with the towels whatever the water is in the floor, and that's what we're doing with the management of disease through, you know, the management of the signs of it and through medication. But truly, what we can do is we can just close the sink. And that's where the food comes from. You just turn off the water and it stops. Like, look at the bigger picture. Look at the cause.
And what we invest in is a better power mop. And we invest in a dry vac. And we say, oh, we are experts at mopping up water. Baby, let that water come on. We are making $1 trillion mopping up water. And then somebody say, listen. Is there a way to turn the water off? But then that shuts off the money source. And so we become experts at mopping up water. We are experts. We spend, you know, we spend over $1 billion every day on heart disease in this country. We spend over $1 billion every day. I mean, if you go by and look at the, Piedmont Hospital, they're building this new Piedmont Hospital wing, this cardiac center. I mean, these big, gigantic, gorgeous buildings. Yet, if you look at the Tarahumara Indians, right? If you go to rural China, if you go to rural Africa and ask how many cases of heart disease they have, none. Not low cases, no cases. They don't have it. And we spend $1 billion a day on something that's completely preventable. Oh my God. And the doctors don't get trained on how to prevent it. It's an amazing thing. And not just how to prevent it, how to treat it once you already have it. You know, Dr. Ornish has on his site a guy that was on the list to get a heart transplant. And while he was on the heart transplant list, I mean, the guy could barely walk. And he wasn't, actually, he was my age now. He was 57 years old. He was, you know, overweight. He had really bad heart disease and he needed a heart transplant. And he and his wife had, before he got diagnosed with the needing a heart transplant, he and his wife had just adopted an 8-month-old baby. And then he was diagnosed with needing a heart transplant. And so he was like, oh my God, he and his wife were like, oh my God, this is like, what are we going to do? And so while he was on the transplant list, he found out about Dean Ornish's program. And he went on that, reversed his heart disease, didn't need the freaking transplant, like a transplant. Like, you know, we just say that word, heart transplant. But do you have an idea of what goes into? You need a circular saw. Imagine a circular saw to cut through the sternum. The sternum is a thick bone. A circular saw to cut completely through the sternum. Then you need clamps that grab the both sides of the rib cage and crank it open, and crank up so that the rib cage is wide open. Then you got to cut your leg and take an artery, the femoral artery from your leg, cut a piece of artery off, and then you patch around the clogged artery. You go from the heart to another part of the left anterior descending, which is the one that clogs the most, and that's a single bypass. And then you may need another one, a double bypass. Then you may need a third one, a triple bypass. Some people need quadruple bypass. And then you put it back together, and then you close the sternum, the rib cage back up, and then you send it home. The trauma is horrible, and you hope it doesn't come back. And then while he's in the waiting room, you feed him bacon and eggs. And I'm like, oh my God, how stupid can you, the same thing that caused it in the first place and in the hospital. You're giving the guy chicken and fish in the hospital. And so, but people will say that plant-based nutrition is extreme. I'm like, is that extreme? You think that's extreme? How about cranking your, how about taking a circular saw to your chest and cranking it open and cutting into your heart? I think that's extreme. And that can be fixed with the food that we eat. Like, how much of a no-brainer is that, right? And so this is what we do. This is what we do.
And this is amazing. I love that the saying of his, of Dr. Ornish's, that we think that the coronary art surgery is not extreme, but plant-based diet is extreme. Yeah, it definitely drives the message home, but also it sheds light on how messed up some of our beliefs are in this society, just a little bit. And this just, again, goes to prove that just because we've been used to doing something over and over and over again, and it became ingrained in our culture or in our behaviors, it became our habits, it does not necessarily mean it's true. So maybe there is, maybe it's like a little bit of a nudge to question your beliefs sometimes and investigate where the roots of those are coming from and seeing if there is a better way that makes much more sense logically.
Yeah, no, that is very, very, very true. And if you look in this country, typically the older you get, the more your blood pressure goes up. Typically in this country, the older you get, the more your kidney function declines. Typically in this country, the older you get, the more atherosclerosis that you get, and the higher your risk is for heart disease. Typically, so many people in this country are dealing with dementia, Alzheimer's. And if you look at countries where people are plant-based, none of that happens. I was doing some research on blood pressure, and in our country, here in the U.S., we believe that the older you get, your blood pressure goes up. But there I found an area in China where people are plant-based, and the older they get, their blood pressure actually goes down. 70 years old, blood pressure was like 105 over like 60-something, 68, 69, or something like that. That's 70 years old, right? And so our you know, we live in an area where the only thing that we see are people who have these chronic illnesses, and we look at it as normal. Mm-hmm. And because we also look at cheeseburgers and, you know, and chicken legs and, you know, fish, and that's just normal. That's just not, I mean, who doesn't eat that way? Like, you and I are looked at as weird because we refuse to eat that food. And I look at us like, man, what's the matter with you? You ain't gonna get enough protein. Oh my God, you're gonna die of malnutrition. Like, I'm like,
right. Let's talk. Also, but, really, really good point that I wanted to mention that you brought up at the very beginning, that your doctor told you when getting you diagnosed in 2011 that, you know, your father had high blood pressure, and that there's the, you know, that basically it's in your genetics. But as Dr. Greger again says, that genetics load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. So again, that's, you know, our belief that, oh, just because we have genes that say, you know, cancer or heart disease or whatever, it doesn't mean anything. We're so much in control of what's happening. Yes, of course, there are always like one-off cases that maybe you can't fight the genes and whatever circumstances are, but don't underestimate the amount of control that you have over your health with your with the choices that you make every day, sometimes several times a day, like food.
Exactly. Every bite of food that you put in your mouth, you're either healing your body or hurting your body. Mm. And we look at food as what tastes good and what's convenient. And I don't look at food that way. I look at food as fuel and nourishment, and I don't want to harm my body. And so, you know, we need to be clear in that just being vegan is not good enough, because there's tons of vegan junk food out there, and you can be vegan and very unhealthy. I mean, you can eat Oreo cookies and cotton candy and French fries and sodas, and all of that is vegan, right? And today it's even more. I mean, there's vegan cakes and vegan pies and ice cream and just tons and tons and tons of vegan junk food. And that's not where you want to be. I mean, it's great for the fact that animals aren't dying. That's great. It's great for the environment. Yes, the Amazon rainforest burning. So we, and animal culture, animal agriculture is the main purpose of that. So it helps for that. But as far as your health is concerned, being vegan is not good enough. Your goal has to be to eat as much plant-based foods as you possibly can. Unprocessed plant-based foods. The foods need to look like they did when they were grown. So if you decide to treat yourself to vegan junk food for one meal, know that you got to come behind that with a big salad or a smoothie or some vegetables or some fruits and give your body nourishment. So, I mean, so if you're not perfect, that's fine. If you go out and have like an Impossible Burger or a Beyond Burger, these vegan foods that I'm glad they come up with them, because it's great for the environment and it's great for an animal's life, but for your health, those aren't healthy foods. So if you decide to have one, then I would say, number one, don't do that on a regular basis. Have it like once in a blue moon. And if you have that day, say, oops, okay, so I did this for taste, but I'm not giving my body all the nourishment that it needs. So come back behind that and then have like a giant smoothie or have like a salad or some green leafy vegetables or some blueberries and or whole grains or beans or something that you know is going to give your body the nourishment that it really needs.
Okay, so I like the direction that we're taking. So at this point, if somebody's still not convinced that you should at least try a plant-based diet for 10 days, maybe you could like rewind and start from the beginning. But for everybody else who's on the train with us, so let's say the listener is like, okay, I hear you, Vince. You made the argument. I'm also just completely intimidated by your passion and excitement, so I'll take it for a ride, but I don't know where to start. I'm clueless. What do you say to somebody like that?
So the first thing that I would say is that the easiest thing to do is embrace fruit. Embrace fruit. Melons, berries, just embrace fruit. And when I say that, some people will come to me and say, oh, but fruit has sugar. I don't want to eat too much fruit because there's sugar in fruit. So I need to cut back on that. I'm like, all right. So yes, there is sugar in fruit, but it is in a natural format. It's not like you're eating cotton candy, because when you eat a cantaloupe, you're getting fiber, you're getting micronutrients, you're getting phytonutrients, you're getting vitamins, you're getting minerals, you're getting a symphony of things that your body needs. Yes, sugar is in there it's in a package that your body knows how to digest and handle and manage. The sugar that's in a watermelon is very different than the sugar that's in Coca-Cola, because the sugar that's in a soda does not have fiber, does not have natural nutrients, and so that sugar gets into your bloodstream like immediately, and it's going to cause your insulin levels to spike immediately because there's no fiber in it. But when you eat a whole fruit, you're not just consuming the sugar, you're also consuming that fiber and all of those and that whole symphony of other nutrients. Whereas if you're consuming sugar in a candy or in a drink, it's like instead of getting a whole symphony, all you get is tuba. And even if you love tuba, you got to admit, tuba alone doesn't sound like a whole symphony. And your body knows how to manage the whole symphony. But when all you give in your body is tuba, doesn't know how to handle that as well. So back to steps. Yeah, embrace fruit. I had today an entire cantaloupe. That's not uncommon to cut and eat up an entire cantaloupe at one time, an entire honeydew melon. Why not? You're getting tons of nutrition and very few calories because the calorie density is so low. Calorie density measured as the number of calories per pound of food. That's the reason why when people go plant-based, you can't help but to lose weight. It's impossible to gain weight if you're eating unprocessed plant-based foods because the calorie density is so low, you're going to get full long before you take in too many calories. So going back to my tips, have as much fruit as you possibly can. If you can, try to have all fruit and water before noon. Just get at a try. You know, get a watermelon, cut it up. Get a honeydew melon, cut it up. Get some blueberries. Get some bananas or some pears or some oranges or and have that with you and snack on it all morning and drink plenty of water. I want you to drink 64 ounces of water a day. I want you to drink water and have 2-3 oranges. Drink some water, have a couple of apples. Drink some water, have some blueberries. Drink some water, and you do that and you realize that, you know what? I'm feeling satisfied, I've got energy. And if you did that as opposed to having a bagel with cream cheese and coffee, and you look at those calories and the nutritional content compared to all of the fruits, you will have consumed thousands of times more nutrients and less calorie and have more energy. So that's an easy tip that we can all do, right? Just, and when you buy any kind of melon, here's an important tip. Cut it up as soon as you bring it home. Because if you cut it up and you put it in a bowl in the refrigerator and you want a snack and it's already there, then it's easy to eat. But if it's not cut up and you're hungry and then you look and you see, well, the candy bar is ready, I can eat that right now, then you might be tempted by the candy bar. But I would say don't bring the candy bar in the house, but we'll get into that. So that's my first tip, is to just eat plenty, you know, plenty of fruit. Second thing is increase your beans or lentils or split peas or your legumes. You know, maybe one of your meals when you would normally have chicken or when you would normally have fish or you would normally have beef, have some black beans instead. Have some navy beans instead. Have some pinto beans instead. Maybe just one meal, substitute beans for the meat. So you can start right there. Like just introduce that one extra food to your meal and substitute that. And if you like the taste of that, oh, okay. And as you do that, the calorie density of beans, now don't use oil when you prepare it or butter. When you have beans instead of meat, you'll realize that you can eat more of it and you'll start losing weight because the calorie density is lower. And there's just so many, you know, beans and legumes are the one thing that in the blue zones. So Dan Buettner's work in the blue zones, where Dan Buettner was hired by National Geographic to go around the world and find areas where people live the longest. And he found these five regions and he lived in each one of them for a period of time. And he determined that there were 9 things that they had in common. With regards to food, they were all 90 to 100% plant-based. And the one food that they all had in common was beans. The one food they all, now obviously different types of beans in different parts of the world, but that was the one thing they had in common. So beans are super, super healthy. So that's another tip that you can take if you don't want to go 100% plant-based, then have more fruit and introduce more beans to your into your diet. Third tip, if you want to lose weight, have a giant salad or a plant-based soup before you have your meal. So let's say you plan on eating meatloaf with potatoes and string beans on the side, right? And your whole thing is centered around the doggone meatloaf. Okay, so let's say, and with gravy on the potatoes, right? So if you just have a big salad before you have that meal, the odds are you'll eat less of that and you will have gotten more nutrients, and that is a tip to lose weight. Or a plant-based soup, like an onion soup or potato soup or vegetable soup, a plant-based soup, because there not only are you using the vegetables to bring down the calorie density, but the chief ingredient in soup is water, no calories. So that's another weight loss tip, is have a big plant-based soup before your lunch or dinner, or have a big salad before your lunch or dinner. So
I love it. This is great. So embrace fruit and maybe consider doing fruit and water before noon. Then add more beans to your diet, and maybe consider if you're still doing animal proteins, maybe consider substituting an animal protein for some kind of bean. And then thirdly, we said eat either a huge salad or a soup, a plant-based soup with no oil, before eating your main meal. This is wonderful. So give us some of your secrets. What is your typical day looks like in terms of food or maybe workout?
So I right now I'm not getting to the gym too much. So I'm just doing push-ups and pull-ups and squats at home. I'm just doing like a home workout. So my workout normally in the morning, I'll do like usually 60 push-ups, rest a couple of minutes, do 50 push-ups, rest a couple of minutes, do 40 push-ups.
Oh my God.
And then I'll do pull-ups. I'll normally do between 15 and 20 pull-ups, and then rest a couple of minutes, do 15 to 20 more, and then rest a couple of minutes, do like 20 more. And so I'll do sets of 20 on my pull-ups, and then I hold a plank for now up to 3 minutes. It's really uncomfortable. Planks are really uncomfortable. They're good for you, but man, it's like torture. It's like, why am I doing this? It's good, but so I hold a plank. And then I'll do like V-ups and crunches. And so if you know, so I always want to work on a pushing exercises, pulling exercises, ab works, and then some type of leg work, which, you know, it can be air squats or squats if you've got some dumbbells to hold, or one leg jumps, or Bulgarian split squats where you put one leg on a chair behind you and then on the other leg, mm-hmm. go up and down. But some type of leg exercise, and then push-ups, pull-ups, and I also do dips, and so and my push-ups. And so I just do that in my house every day. And then I try to run like 3-4 times a week. And I love tennis, but I'm working so much now that I'm not getting much tennis in, but I love tennis. I don't even include that in part of my workout, but I just love tennis. I like to play as much as I can, but that's my workout. And then, so eating, I normally will drink this glass, 20 ounces, when I wake up. And so if you ever wake up hungry, now this is an extra tip, I'm giving you another tip. If you ever wake up and you feel hungry, sometimes when you wake up, you're like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Okay, if you feel that way, fill up, get 20 ounces of water, room temperature preferably, and drink that 20 ounces of water and then see what happens to your hunger. Usually you'll realize, oh my God, I'm not hungry. So actually you were thirsty, but it was masked into feeling like you were hungry. So yes, you're hungry, I get that. Drink 20 ounces of water and see how you feel. So I normally start my day off. Now, when I do my workouts in the morning, I'll have this 20 ounces usually before my workout, and then through the workout, I'll have another 20 ounces during that workout. And then I just have fruit until lunch. And then usually lunch, which is normally I'm eating between, like now it's 1:20, and all I've had today was a cantaloupe in water. I'll make a big pot of oatmeal. I do steel cut oats, and I love getting my omega-3 fatty acids from seeds. So in my oatmeal, I put 2 tablespoons of chia seeds, 2 tablespoons of hemp seeds, and a heaping tablespoon of flax seeds. And along with cinnamon, and then I'll put blueberries and mixed berries and bananas. And then that is in like a quart and a half pot, and it's full to the top, and I eat that in one serving. And then I'll drink more water. By 4, 5, 6 o'clock or so, I may just go to dinner. If not, no, I may be going for a run. I hate the daylight is so early now, so I can't run in the afternoon. I hate that. If I need a snack, I'll have some nuts and dates, or I'll have some hummus, or baked sweet potato. Here's another tip. Baked sweet potato is amazing by itself. So once a week, I'll normally put 4 baked potatoes in the oven at 400 degrees for about 50 minutes to an hour, and so that they're soft. And when it comes, and after I bake them, I probably have 1 right then, but then put the rest in the refrigerator so that then when you want a snack, you just take that already cooked baked potato and just pop it in the microwave for 90 seconds. And it's amazing, 100% whole food, plant-based, no oil added. And so I'll have maybe a baked sweet potato maybe around 5 o'clock before my run if I feel like I'm hungry for my run. And then for my dinner, it's normally some kind of beans and greens. I'll do a lot of a black bean chili, which is just black bean corn salsa mixed with kale and a guacamole on top. And then I mix that up. I love that. I'll have that almost every day. I love that. Or I'll do a chickpea salad, which, and by the way, I'm like not a great cook. Like, this is simple. The beans are from the can, even though sometimes I'll make them in my Instant Pot, which that's easy to use as well. But I'm super lazy, simple, and those are from the can. My chickpeas, and it shows like, boy, I eat a lot. I'll eat, put 2 cans of my chickpea salad, 2 cans of chickpeas, mash it up, take an avocado, mash it up in there, and then I'll cut in there celery and onions and tomatoes, and then mix that all up. And then I'll put some dill relish and olives and mustard, mix that all up. And then take kale and mix kale up in there. And that's a big bowl of wonderfulness. And then, so I'll have either the chickpea salad or the black bean chili, or sometimes I'll just have a gigantic Vitamix of a smoothie and a baked sweet potato. Sometimes that's a meal.
You're making me hungry.
And I'm not, listen, I am, I put cooking in three categories. There is just the basic necessities. Then there's people that, you know, they've got their four or five good recipes that they'll rotate and that they're comfortable following recipes. And then there's the people that cooking is a passion. And, oh, I love to create these new flavors with this. Okay, so I'm definitely the category one cook. The basics, give me the, I'm fine with having the beans from the can. But when I buy beans, it's important that I look at the ingredients. The only ingredient is the beans. I want no salt added. So I find black beans where the only ingredient is black beans. I find corn where the only ingredient is corn. I find chickpeas, all ingredients. That way, everything that I'm putting in, it's an unprocessed plant-based food, and I'm putting and making it myself, and I know what I'm consuming because I put it in there. And so that's how you treat your body like a temple, is you feed it all of these beautiful unprocessed plant-based foods, and you do that in exercise and have some love in your life, have some good relationships, and get some rest, and life is good.
I love it. Life is good. And I totally agree with you on sweet potatoes too. For me, sweet potatoes is like rocket fuel before runs. And I discovered it maybe a little bit over a year ago. I never used to eat before running, but I was working with this girl, Jackie Merritt. She was amazing. She is amazing. She helped me train for my first marathon that I did last year. And she like forced me. She convinced me into having some nutrition before, especially long runs. Yeah. So I started trying to eat sweet potatoes. And like the first time I did, I won the 5K that I ran with like other people. I was like, okay, all right. This could work. So now every time I make a race, I go for a race, I bake a sweet potato and I bring it with me with like in a Ziploc bag or something. And I will have like half an hour before. And oh my God, I can like feel the rocket fuel in my body.
That is amazing. Now, do you do the beet juice? You know about the beet juice trick, right?
Yes. Well, tell us about the beet juice trick.
So beet juice is a very high nitrate rich natural food item. And in order for your arteries to expand properly, the inner lining of your arteries, which is the endothelium cells, they make nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a gas that makes your arteries swell up. And when you're running, you need your arteries to swell up. Well, in order for your endothelium cells to make nitric oxide, you've got to eat nitrate-rich foods. And natural, not any kind of processed, naturally from plant-based foods. And beet juice is one of the best. So if you've got a race that if you've got this big race, you want a PR, I would say start 24 hours in advance of having a gigantic smoothie filled with like arugula and make sure it's like beets and berries and but like an entire beets. And even with the greens as well, the top of the green as well. And then, so I start having that like 24 hours before the race. And then the day of the race, have like, I would say at least 8 ounces, between 8 and 16 ounces of beet juice, probably an hour or so before the race. Now you are giving, like you're giving your body what it needs in order to have your arteries expand, and your body actually handles oxygen more efficiently. So, yeah, before a race, beet juice. And if you don't want to do the smoothie, that's fine. Start, you know, taking your beet juice in the day before the race, because races are always in the morning. So starting the night before, go beet juice.
I love it. Well, I'm from Ukraine, so beets are very close to my heart. Make everything from beets, the borscht, the soup, the sugar, everything comes from beets. But a funny story, I was kind of on the beet train too when I was training for my marathon last year. And I remember coming back after a run and I made this huge, amazing smoothie with tons of beets. So it was like really rich in color. And then I think I was rushing somewhere to the event and I knocked it out. So I still have beet juice stains on the walls of my kitchen.
That, listen,
it was beautiful. It was like a murder scene.
Yes. You know, I have to tell my clients, whenever I tell my clients about beet juice and beets, it's important to say that the color of beets is so rich.
Yes.
That it is rich red going in and it is rich red coming out. And you need to warn people about that, because when you see red after you use the bathroom, it's normally alarming because it's not a good thing. But just, oh, that's right. It's the red from the beets that's going in. It'll be the red and the beets coming out.
Right. Maybe. That's a good point. Again, Ukrainian. I'm used to that because I grew up with that. But I'm sure some people are like, what is happening?
Yes. Yes. It'll feel, well, it happened to me when the first time I saw the red, I'm like, oh my God, you know, you wipe and you see red. It's like, I mean, it will scare you. At first you think you're bleeding, but no. Beets are red going in and red.
Just plants. Just eat plants.
Just plants. Exactly.
I love it. Vince, well, I want to be respectful of your time. We've been talking for a little over an hour now. I have just a few more closing questions, but before we go to that, is there anything else that you wanted to mention or anything that you wanted to talk about? First of all, how do people find you? If somebody wants to take your Lower Your Blood Pressure 10-Day Challenge, where do they find you?
So the best place is Facebook. I'm on Facebook. And so you can just find my profile by looking up Vince Rountree. There's no D in the Rountree, R-O-U-N-T-R-E-E with no D. So you can find me on Facebook. I've got a free book that I would love to give everyone. And my free book is on how to lower your blood pressure with food. So there's only 100 million people in the U.S. that have high blood pressure. And I wrote a book that you can learn how to lower it with food. And all you got to do is go to the website, lowerbpnow.com, and you can get my book for free. So I would love for you to have my free book, because I want to help you to lower your blood pressure. And then after you get the book, you will see a page that will tell you to learn more about the blood pressure challenge if you're at all interested in the blood pressure challenge. But if you follow me on Facebook, whenever I have the challenge, I'm always talking about it on Facebook before the challenge. So, find me on Facebook at Vince Rountree. I'm also starting right now a Facebook group called Food is the Cause. Because we know food is the cause and food is the cure. So in my Food is the Cause Facebook group, that's a free Facebook group. I'm just giving tons of information, just like I'm sharing with you right now. And so I'm just going live and I'm sharing that type of information. So if you go to Facebook and type in Food is the Cause and look at groups, hit push groups, Food is the Cause groups, then you should find my group. I'm just starting that up right now, so there's not many people in it now, but it will be soon as we share the message. So,
yeah, and I'll make sure to include those links in the show notes as well to make it easier for listeners to get there.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, excellent. Is there anything else that you want to share or talk about before we start wrapping it up?
I think we covered most. We talked about tips. We talked about reversing heart disease. We really covered a lot. I think. You know, I like people to know that my passion comes from a place of kindness. You know, I think that inherently people are kind and want to be kind. Yes, there's exceptions, but helping a mother to be healthy for her child is really a personal thing. And that's where what I do comes from. Helping a dad to stay healthy and alive, to be a dad for his parents, is an important thing. And I'm so passionate about this because most people are going to their doctors when they're sick and the doctors don't know. And so we're seeing all of these commercials. Every other commercial is ask your doctor what this drug can do for you. Ask your doctor what this drug can do for you. And this drug can lower your cholesterol. And this drug can, I just lowered my A1C. I am so happy. I'm dancing down the street because I took this pill. And we just think that that's the only way. And the biggest problem and challenge we have is the cure is in beets. The cure is in vegetables. The cure is in fruits. But there's no profitability in big numbers with fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes. There's not that much profit in it. So we can't afford to have commercials of people dancing down the street saying, I lowered my A1C because I eat more broccoli and more kale and more string beans and black beans. So now I'm not on medication anymore. We can't afford to do that because there's not, the profit isn't there. And so we see all of these doggone commercials for all of these pills because the industry makes over $500 billion just on pills. Close to it, it's approaching that. Close to $500 billion that just in the US on pills alone. They are so profitable that we've got all these commercials and there is no pill that is treating the cause. And we are all about trying to figure out the cause. The one area where we actually do that is if you are a smoker and you have lung cancer. Well, if you're a smoker and you have lung cancer, when you go to the doctor will tell you, I can do the best I can to treat this lung cancer. But until you stop smoking, you will always have it. Because smoking is the cause. Well, when you have high blood pressure, when you have high cholesterol, if you've got heart disease, if you've got type 2 diabetes, until you stop eating the foods that causes it, you'll be treating those symptoms for the rest of your life. We've got to get to the cause. And food is the cause, so food is the cure.
Amen. I love it. Yeah, this is very true. One, and it's so interesting because the two closing questions that I had were, well, one of them about kindness, follow your kind, is my, kind of came to life in my belief that each of us is inherently kind and we're brought into this world being wired for kindness. And, some of us may understand the kindness differently, but it doesn't matter. I don't want you to follow what I say, or I don't want people to follow what you say, but my challenge is for people to investigate what kindness means for them and to follow their value of kindness intentionally. And my question usually is at the end is what kindness means to you, but it sounds like you have already answered it. It's the work that you do. And you're so deeply rooted in kindness. Again, starting just, you know, right when you started being kind to the doctor that diagnosed you and, you know, suggested a way that perhaps may not be optimal way for you, back to where you find yourself today doing the important work that you do and being so kind to others and being further motivated by it, by making real change and helping people not just lose weight or, you know, lower their whatever metrics they care about, but really dig down to get to what their why is and really bring health from inside out. It goes deeper beyond any metrics and either be it scale or blood pressure or diabetes measurements. Yeah. Tell me what gives you hope today?
We've made a lot of progress in this field. We've got such a long way to go, but in just the last 5 years, there's so much information out there that I have hope that the day will come when people will understand that there's a better way. Now, what we're fighting against is two separate $1 trillion industries. The food industry is a $1 trillion industry, and they hire the world's best scientists to create foods that caused so much pleasure that you've got to have that feeling again. And that means, by definition, it's not an unprocessed plant-based food. They've got to process foods to make it that pleasurable. And so we are seduced by these flavors that are amazing and addicting. And that seduction causes all of these chronic illnesses that we have, and it sends us from being healthy to being in a healthcare system that does not point the evidence back to what caused the problem in the first place, because they've got their own entire system of using medications and surgeries to treat the illness. And so you've got a $1 trillion healthcare system that does not look at food, and a $1 trillion food system that's making us sick, and we're caught in the middle. And there are literally over 100 million Americans that are sick. And so that's the bad news. But the good news is that the message is getting out. We're seeing movies like Game Changers, where I had the pleasure of meeting you for putting this event together. You know, that's having a tremendous impact. I'm actually having people come to me saying, "Hey, I saw that this video. You think you can help me?" I'm actually having people come to me because they have
seen
that documentary. Today, I would say, and I don't have this data, but just from observation, I would say probably 70% of the people that are plant-based, maybe 80, I don't know, are women, right? Most, there aren't that many men that are plant-based. There's a lot of women that are plant-based. And I think part of that is because men are raised to thinking it's manly man, masculine, to have a steak, to cook food on the grill. And that's a masculine thing. And Game Changers is the first documentary that I've seen that really speaks to men. Mm-hmm. Men need to hear this in a different way than women do. And I think that documentary is good. So I have hope when I see documentaries like that and I'm seeing how people respond to it. I have hope when I see people like Dr. Clapper that's traveling to medical schools to help train healthcare professionals. I have hope when I go to the PCRM conference and I literally see 1,000 healthcare professionals that are training on how to use plant-based nutrition in their medical practice, knowing that at the ACLM conference, there's over 1,000 people. There are many healthcare professionals that travel from all over the world because they don't learn how to incorporate plant-based nutrition into the medical practice in medical school. But there are these conferences that are becoming more and more popular. The Plantrition World Conference in Anaheim, they got over 1,000 people in their conference. And again, physicians from all over the world are trying to figure out, how do I incorporate this latest science that's actually healing people? How do I incorporate that into my practice? Because when you just prescribe meds, they don't get better. All you can hope to do is to manage the symptoms. And when these good doctors are learning that there's a way to actually heal people with the food, there's many doctors that resonates with. And so I went to my first conference back in 2015, was my first PCRM conference. And I think it probably had about 600 people at that one. The one this past July in 2019, it was over 1,000. So I have hope, because as we can train physicians, and oh my God, they also had a special welcome for people who are in medical school. And so if we can get physicians while they're in medical school to understand and embrace plant-based nutrition, then at least they can share this information with their patients. Now, will every patient do it? Of course not. I mean, there are patients that have lung cancer. They know they're going to die. They're still smoking. They'll still go to the to the drugstore, and they're getting their carton of cigarettes, and they can barely talk. "I have a carton of Pall Mall, please." and they know they're dying, I gotta buy something, right? So they're not gonna change. There's people the same way, right? There's people who they got a heart attack, and you say, listen, if you can give up your steak and your ribs, this will save your life. I don't care, gotta die or something, I want my ribs and my steak anyway. Okay, I get that. If you know that and that's what you choose, that's your prerogative. My concern is for the people that don't know that. And so that if the doctor tells them, they will make the change, because some people will. And so I've got hope that things are changing, because doctors are going to these conferences. That means they're sharing that with patients. And even if just 1% of their patients take and do it, well then that's 1% of the population that are getting better. Well, that's better than it was in the past, right? So we're making progress. It's slow progress. We got a long way to go, but I have hope because we have truth on our side, right? The truth and there's data, there's scientific evidence and data behind what we're doing. This is not propaganda. I made a long post yesterday from somebody that said, well, you know, Game Changers, it was just vegan spin and propaganda. And I said, I understand where you're coming from. I was the same way. I mean, when I was eating my barbecue ribs and my burgers and my bacon and eggs, and if somebody said, man, you got to eat plant-based for health, I'm like, man, you ain't doing nothing. But then if you ever have the curiosity to look at the science, if you look at what Esselstyn's proof that shows a coronary artery disease that is 100% blocked, then the only intervention is you put the person on plant-based nutrition and that same artery is wide open. Well, now you got scientific proof. You've got proof, increased blood flow to the heart that have saved somebody's life. So truth is on our side. That's not propaganda. Truth is on our side. I understand the resistance. When you've come up eating this way your whole life and your mom and dad ate that way and their parents ate that way and their parents, so generation after generation of eating this food that tastes delicious, and now all of a sudden I'm saying that it's unhealthy. Yeah, you may resist that. That's normal. But if I can get you to look at the science, if I can get you to look at a coronary artery that goes from completely clogged to completely open, and the only intervention is plant-based nutrition, then maybe you'll decide to give it a change. And so I've got hope that people will see these facts, and there will be, and there are people who are seeing that and making changes. So I have hope.
So Vince Roundtree 2020. I love it. It's Vince, thank you so much for all the work that you do and for all the energy and passion and excitement that you bring to this and the kindness and love that you approach this with. I really think it's so important to have advocates like you on our side who are able to share the message with joy without blaming and shaming, but surely leading by example and coming from the place of evidence-based and education and truth and integrity and values and just pure energy and joy like you do. So thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I'm thankful that our paths have crossed, and I'm sure it's going to be a beginning of a long-term friendship and partnership to change the nature of healthcare in the world.
Yes. I am happy, proud, and honored to be on your team.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.